Psalm, before we go to the scripture, Psalm 19, I want us to briefly look at Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4 is a popular scripture, but I don't think that we as a church have come to the full understanding of that scripture. It says, I'll read from verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and some teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13, till we come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, and from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I'm not going to break down this scripture or anything, but I just want to bring to our attention that Jesus Christ is a complete man. He has a head and he has a full body. But we all know that Christ is the head of this body, the Son of Man who spans between heaven and the earth. The head is in the heavens and the body is upon the earth. Now, the body must rise up, must grow and come to the same stature as the head. So in Ephesians, Paul is telling us that Christ gave ministry gifts, men as gifts, to equip the saints, to build up the body until the body comes to the unity of faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Every believer, therefore, must be equipped, must be built up, must be raised up to the full stature as of what? The Son of God. It means that every believer carrying the DNA of Jesus Christ must grow and must mature and must have the grace, the ability, the strength that Jesus had. When Jesus was on earth, he said to us that the things that he did, we would do more. And he sent his Spirit. He said, when I'm gone, my Father will send the Spirit who will equip you. And he was proved right, because his disciples, full of the Holy Spirit, rose up to the challenge. And they did exploits for God and extended the kingdom of Jesus Christ. That by the power of the Spirit, they did mighty works and they transformed communities. The gospel has continued, and wherever men and women have sought the face of God and have sought to be Christ-like, to be like Jesus Christ, and where men and women have risen up to the challenge of living life in the Spirit, of living the Word, and of moving forward under the power of the Holy Spirit, we've seen much growth in the church. We've seen many come to faith. We've seen communities transformed. I think one of the greatest examples is the United Kingdom, where great men like John Wesley, Smith Wigglesworth, came to a knowledge and an understanding of this gospel, the gospel of the kingdom of God. And with it, they rose up and did mighty works for Jesus Christ. We are in a season where God is seeking to revive some of these things. And the Lord is speaking to whoever will. And the Lord is seeking men and women that he will use as gifts to the church, to equip the church. Every believer must come to the knowledge of the Son of God. In fact, Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1 says to us, therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity. Let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward into maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God and of instructions about cleansing. Let's move from the basic knowledge of Christ. It means that there is more that we need to know about Christ. Coming into maturity, Christian maturity, is coming into a deeper knowledge of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Not just knowing him by the letter of the word, but by the Spirit, in that Christ, the knowledge of Christ becomes a personal thing and brings transformation into our lives. Several years ago, the Lord asked me to wait on him for 21 days fasting. And then he said to me, pursue me. Okay, Lord, where do you want me to go? On the first day, he led me to Psalm 19. And within the 21 days, the Lord revealed to me the perfect, almost like the perfect man, the perfect revelation of God on the earth. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and we are seeking his kingdom in our midst upon the earth. But the kingdom of God dwells within man, and when the kingdom comes within man, something happens, which is what we're going to look at. Because the scripture says that the whole of creation is groaning and waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. The sons of God are the ones in whom the kingdom has come to rest and dwell and settle. The ones who have made a throne for Christ in their lives. And creation is waiting for us. Creation is waiting for the Christ-like man. Creation is waiting for those who have come into maturity to the stature of the Son. That when they speak, creation hears. When they speak, demons obey. When they speak, the wind obeys. Let's look at Psalm 19. The heavens, I'll start from verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiworks. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoicing like a strong man to his race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servants also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my Redeemer and my strength. And you think, what has this got to do with the kingdom? Or what has it got to do with Christ in me? Well, let's see if we can draw something from this. The first few verses talk about creation. It talks about the heavens declaring the glory of God, declaring the majesty, the weight of God, the essence of God, the firmament showing his creation. Each day is speaking forth the glories of God. There is nowhere upon the earth where creation does not speak of the majesty, of the glory, of the splendor of God. You look up the skies, especially if you're flying, and you are just filled with awe at the greatness of God. Because of this, there is nowhere on the earth that anybody can say there isn't a God. And that's why you find expressions of worship wherever you go. Even Paul came across a shrine to an unknown God. Because out of creation, there's a realization that there is God. So the heavens tell us about God. The creation tells us about God. In fact, the sun, he said in the heavens, he has what? Put the sun. He has set the heavens as a tabernacle for the sun. The greatest light we have access to, the greatest natural light is the sun. But the sun, it speaks volumes about light, the eternal light. And it says that what? The sun moves from what? One end of the earth to the other. It rises and goes its circuit. So there is nowhere upon the surface of the earth where the sun does not touch. And the sun is speaking forth the glories of God. It's bringing light to us, that we do not walk in darkness. The sun is telling us about the faithfulness of God. The Bible says, great is your faithfulness. Morning by morning we receive mercies. So every time the sun rises, we are reminding that of the mercies of God. Jesus said that God causes what? The sun to shine on both the righteous and the unrighteousness, telling us about the goodness of God. So really, with our five senses, we can access God. We can see God. We can touch God. We can feel God. Everything that is created reflects the image of God. So none of us, like Paul said in Romans 1, has an excuse to saying that we don't know God. But this kind of relationship with God is impersonal. It's so impersonal. It doesn't even the heathen acknowledge that there is God. Because, yes, there is something about what he's created which tells us about him. That he's faithful, that he's good, but it doesn't draw us into relationship with him. If God wanted things to be just so, after creating all everything, he would have paused and not bothered to create man. Because all of creation would have shown on the earth, would have revealed his glory and would have been enough evidence that God exists. But that's more than what God wants, because God wanted his reflection upon the earth as it is in heaven, that he is worshipped in relationship upon the earth as it is in heaven. So if creation cannot tell us about God, if creation cannot really reveal there's a limit to what creation will tell me about God, then what else? You find that the psalmist moves on from verse 7 into something else, because God is revealed beyond creation. God is revealed in his word. It says the law of the Lord is what? Perfect, converting the soul. The minute we access God through the word, transformation begins. So every believer must come to a place where in seeking God, is not, you know, there's so much going on about this prophet wanted to see God in this way, touch God, needs met, all the things that are going on. They are all limited to the sensual. But any true believer who really wants to see God must move from the natural, because the natural is limited in expression. The natural is limited in revelation. The natural is limited in transformation, in making me Christ-like. So we move from there to that which is boundless in revelation, brings revelation after revelation. And not just that, but also can transform me. It says the law of the Lord is perfect. It converts the soul. The testimony of the Lord makes the simple wise. The statutes of the Lord rejoice the heart. The law of the Lord opens our eyes. The fear of God is clean. His judgments are righteous. There is a revelation of God which is greater than what we see with our senses. If we turn to Hebrews chapter 11, I think we read Hebrews 12. If we go back just to the chapter before and we look at something, let's look at verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. The kingdom of God carries a glory which God must reveal through man. The beginning of the kingdom of God, the manifestation of the kingdom of God on the earth, is through you and I. We must carry the glory that Jesus carried in order to transform this world, in order to build the ruins of families, of lives, of communities, and of nations. We must carry that glory in order to claim and possess the nations for Jesus Christ. I don't know if I'm making sense, but in order to do that, we must come to an understanding that the glory that Jesus carried had substance. It had weight. It was tangible yet spirit. Now, for me to carry that, I need to access the same thing that Jesus accessed. And I've said that I cannot access it with my senses, because what I see is limited. I can pray and pray and pray and say, Lord, I want this. He will give it to me. I will see it. I will touch it. But it still does not bring me into relationship with God in a deeper level. It does not open my eyes to see Christ. It does not build me up. I remain a child, just having my needs met. But God wants to move us from that position of children, having our needs met daily, to full-grown sons who can now be given their inheritance. Galatians chapter 4 verse 1 talks about the son. He said the son, so long as he remains a child, is no different from a slave. But when he's grown and the appointed time comes, then the father gives him his inheritance. Jesus said, I give you keys, but those keys are not given to children. No one gives the keys of their house to children. And so God is seeking to bring us as sons of God out of our childishness into maturity. Now, faith is substance. The glory of God is substance of things we cannot see. What we see is limited. What we do not see has substance. I don't know how you can work your mind around it, but try and work your mind around it. What you see is limited in substance. It does not carry enough of the glory of God. But what you do not see has substance. How do I know? Because verse 3 of Ephesians 11 tells me that by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are seen. That which we see, which we can handle, which is real to us, came out of what we do not see. And that's why I'm saying that what we do not see has more substance and reality than what we see. So how do we access what we do not see? How do we take on the substance which we need to bring us into maturity? It is by faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So it's time to engage with the word. For the word of God will bring conversion. When conversion takes place, you don't get the same result. If I converted pounds to dollars, I will no longer be carrying pounds, but I will be carrying dollars. The state in which the substances after conversion changes completely. And that is why we are seeking to move from this worldly, natural state into spirit men and women, into spirit beings upon the surface of the earth, carrying the substance of Jesus Christ. For this is what we need now, that we know him, that we walk in his righteousness, we walk and live and walk in his purity and in his love. Above all, his power is manifested through us towards others, that wherever we go, by the power of Jesus Christ and by the gospel, we will make a difference. Amen. So it says what? The law of the Lord is perfect. It is perfect. It revives the soul. It does what creation cannot do. It does what the elements cannot do. It brings a conversion in the area of my soul, in my will, my emotions, my intellect. This morning I was meditating on what is really, if not my most favorite, one of my most favorite scriptures, Ephesians 3. And I love it. I love it from the Amplified version. I almost every day read and pray it in my life. Ephesians 3. It says what, from verse 16. Paul, this is Paul praying. He said, from 15, he talks about praying to the Father, whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. That's what he may grant, verse 16, he may grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man, by the Holy Spirit himself indwelling your innermost being and personality. Now, I've read this scripture so many times, I would say over 100 times, and I've prayed it. But this morning, as I meditated on it, something came to my attention. May God grant me out of the rich treasury of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in my soul, in my inner being, in my personality, in my emotions, in my will, so that, verse 17, Christ by faith may actually dwell, settle down and make his permanent home in my heart. And that's, like I said, it's been my prayer for years. But as I prayed it today, and I was praying and saying, Jesus, settle in my heart, make your home, that I will be the tabernacle, the ark that carries you. Where you want to go, I move. That Christ is brought to peoples. Christ can access lives through my life. But what struck me was that just one word, that he may grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory. And my mind was taken to Exodus 34, where Moses had asked to see God's glory. And God showed Moses his character. He said, I will declare my name before you. I'll make all my goodness pass before you. And he declared his name, the Lord good, the Lord merciful, the Lord gracious. And today, for some reason, I just saw it from that perspective. That out of the treasury of his glory, out of the treasury of his character, of his goodness, of his mercy, of his long-suffering, of his patience, of his loving kindness, I will be strengthened in my inner man. So that, in effect, the fruit of the Spirit, this is what he's talking about, that the Spirit will work the fruit of character in me. That I will become more like my Father. I will become more like Jesus Christ. Because that's the true revelation of Jesus. Bible says, when we see him as he is, so are we. So the more my eyes is open to see him, the more I should see myself as I am. It means that the Spirit of God is working in me together with the Word. The law of the Lord converting me, transforming me, changing my nature, making me more like him, making me more gentle, making me more patient, making me more righteous. I am his righteousness, but walking in that righteousness, being just in all that I do. So what Paul said, that Christ in me, the hope of glory, is being made manifest in my life. It should be the prayer of every serious Christian that the law of the Lord in its perfection will bring conversion, will transform me, will change me, will make reveal Jesus to me more. It says the statutes of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord. But the thing is this, we still cannot see the word. We have it written on paper. Yet Paul said to us in Corinthians that the letter of the word kills. Moses had it written on stones. We have it written on paper. What's the difference? There's no difference between the red word written on paper and the word written on stone. It is still letter. The word is only creative when it moves from letter into spirit. It's only transforming when it moves from the letter to spirit. How then can the word become spirit in me? And we only have once the Bible says that the word moved from spirit to flesh. That's in the book of John. John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the word. We can turn to John 1. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. All things were made by him. And without him, the word that we do not see, there was nothing made that was made. In the word was life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. You know, even during the daytime when the sun is out, just the cloud can just dim the brightness of the sun. And then you find the day going duller and duller. And then at night, it hides, the darkness comes. But the light that comes from the word, no darkness can comprehend it. Verse 10 of John 1 says, he was in the world, and the world was made through him. That is, the word came into the world, and the world was made through him. And the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believed in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we have beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. My heart just fills with joy when I read the scripture. That the word became flesh. The word came into manifestation. The word could be touched again. The word could be accessed. The word could be experienced. The word came into being, into flesh. But he says what? He came into the world and we did not know him. But as many as received the word, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name. How did that happen? To those who believed him, they were given the power to become God's children. And they were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We've heard the scripture many times, but there's a revelation here that those who have been made, have been given the power by the word of God to become children of God, were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. This is the same way Jesus was born. Jesus was not born of blood, nor was he born of the will of the flesh, nor was he born of the will of man, but he was born of God. So, in effect, the word gives us the power, has given us the power to come into the same essence, to come into the same nature, to come into the same substance as Jesus Christ. I thank God for the new birth experience that the Holy Spirit births us from above. But that new birth experience is not of blood. It is not of the will of the flesh. It is not of the will of man, but of God. And then the word became flesh. So the word of God can become flesh in us as Christ takes his place in our lives. When we can become Christians, that's just the beginning of the journey. But the more we allow his spirit to work together with his word in us, in living in obedience to the word, seeking constantly. Paul said what? That I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. That I might know him. Constantly seeking to know Jesus. Constantly seeking to be like him. Constantly surrendering to the Spirit of God. We find that what? We're becoming more and more like him, growing to the stature. I always say that if you see a head, somebody with a big head and a small body, you say it's kwashioko. Sometimes the body of Christ looks like that because we're nowhere near the head, the stature of the head. But every believer, God is seeking to bring his sons to the stature of the Son of God. And we thank God because God is like more and more people are coming to this revelation. Amen. Let's go back to Psalm 19. So the word of God is bringing this transformation with the Spirit of God. Is bringing a revelation of Jesus Christ because he is the only tangible manifestation. It's a life of faith that comes by the word. It's a life of the Spirit. The Spirit and the Word together working in us, bringing us to a certain place. But the tone of the psalm changes. It says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. You see, because Jesus becomes the standard by which now we live, our own humanity, whereas when we just saw God through the natural things, there was no conviction. We did not see ourselves really as ones who are falling short. When we start encountering the word, we begin to see how fallen our human state is. There is no way you will see Jesus and not see how much man has fallen. So the cry to cleanse me, the continuous cry, Lord, prepare me. Lord, make me. Lord, build me up. Lord, help me live a life of victory. Help me overcome sin, overcome the flesh. I am moving from the basic childish living of the Christian faith to a mature life of an overcomer. For as he is, so are we. I'm becoming more like him in my thinking. There is a consciousness that I am a different person. I was talking to somebody on Saturday, and I said to her, look, with me at this moment where I am at, what you will get from me is Jesus. Every conversation is not going to bring glory to him in any way or enhance his kingdom. There is no point for the conversation. Because like Paul, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. For the life I live by faith in the Son of God. Paul said what? If I remain, then it's to the benefit of the people to whom I'm called. That if I'm upon the earth, then my life must be a benefit. And that benefit will be me giving them Christ, me raising them up, me nurturing them, me building Christ in them. Last week, I think Pastor Oti said something about walking blameless. Verse 13, it says, then I shall be blameless and I shall be innocent of great transgression. This is the way I will walk blameless before God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Any man, any woman whose words and whose thoughts and whose heart is acceptable in God's sight is one who has come into perfection. One who is walking like Christ. For if he dwells in me, my thoughts, my mouth, what did Paul say in Philippians? Whatsoever things are beautiful, of a good report, lovely, true, we will find that our Christian walk will become a practical, everyday thing. That Christ is seen in us even in ordinary everyday thing, because there is no difference between me and him. I wake up and he's I don't have to try and think about him. He's my first thought. The Lord is looking for people who will come to this place of maturity, that his son will be revealed in them, whose knowledge of God goes beyond the natural and the four senses, but move into a spiritual dimension. And with moving into the spiritual dimension, gain substance, the substance of God. The glory of God is the substance of God. So in moving from the natural, looking for God in the natural, but turning to Christ through his word, by the power of his spirit, God Christ is being formed in me. It is these sons that God is seeking and will do mighty things through. Many will come to faith because God found faithful people. This is the beginning of the kingdom of God. Because before the church can come into the kingdom, or not even come into the kingdom, the church is filled with individual believers. So the extent to which the church is moving in the kingdom is the same extent at which every believer is moving in the things of the kingdom. Every believer must come to this place. And one day, I trust God that by his spirit, each and every one of us will not only come into this place, but we will raise others also until Jesus Christ is seen on the earth again. And wherever he went, he was doing good. Wherever we go, the days of the Acts of the Apostles are here. Whoever wants to enter them, the door is open. God is looking for those who can span across heaven and earth. The Bible, Jesus said, I have given you keys so we can boldly open, get into heaven. And because we're already seated with Christ in those heavenly places, praise God, we are able to have dialogue with him. I think in March, the Lord said to me that he said, my secret is with you. I want to reveal my secrets to you. Now that's a position really, is a privilege and a position of trust. that God will seek to reveal and will seek to have dialogue concerning things to do with people and people groups and nations of the earth. But this is what happens when we come into maturity, that we can access the kingdom of heaven, find out the mind of God, and come and execute it upon the earth. I think Psalm 149, that's something that David said in Psalm 149, that this is the honor given to the saints. The last verse, let me read from verse 5 of Psalm 149. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hands, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples, and bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. Verse 9, to execute on them the written judgment. This honor have all his saints. This honor God has given to us. To bind, to loose, to establish. The authority given by Christ Jesus to us remains the same, unchanging. Whoever rises up to it, to stand in it, to possess it, will walk in it, and we will see much done. The kingdom extended, not just extended, but established in the lives of people. In Jesus' name, amen.